Blog Talk Radio.
Time is ticking by, and I can feel an explosion inside. And time is ticking by, and I can feel an explosion inside. As in the days of Noah, as in the days of Noah, though we're drinking, marrying, laughing, as in the days of Noah, what a fool they say to build a boat on sand. What a fool they say. It's never rained before. It's never rained before. It's never rained before. As in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. And what a fool they say to fast and pray. And what a fool they say, come on, it's been 2,000 years. Do you really think that he's coming? Come on, let's just get real. But remember this first, that many, many, many scoffers will come. And when the rain starts falling, it's too late. It's too late. And when the rain starts falling, it's too late. It's too late. As in the days of Noah, it's never rained before. It's never rained before. It's never rained before. It's never rained before. One day, 2 days, 3 days gone by, and time is ticking by, and I can feel an explosion inside. People get ready, Jesus is coming. And many, 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 many scoffers will rise in that day, and they'll say, it's never rained before. It's never rained before. It's never rained before. It's never rained before. It's never rained, rain, go away. Hide me from the wrath of the Lamb.
Works to the children of men.
for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. And I could go on and on in Psalm chapter 107 and just declare that it is time, it is high time, saints of God, that you and I give thanks to the Lord, that we glorify the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we give him praise and honor, and we thank him. This is Pastor Vincent Xavier. It's good to be with all of you tonight. We're excited about our broadcast this evening. We are going to be deep into the book of Revelation, and we are going to explore some very wonderful things out of the Word of God. How many of you tonight have a testimony that God has delivered you from your distresses? How many of you have a testimony tonight that you were once lost, but you have been found? How many of you have a testimony tonight that God has delivered you? And boy, oh boy, do I hope you have a great testimony, because there are millions and millions of people around the world that have a testimony to the goodness of God. The psalmist David, King David, is shouting out to the inhabitants of Israel. He's talking to the people of this earth, and he's saying to the children of God particularly, we ought to give thanks to God because he has done it again and again and again and again. And tonight, if he hasn't done it yet for you, I believe that he's going to. I believe the Lord is going to deliver you from your distresses, from your troubles, from your afflictions. We have shifted into a new season of great hope and great deliverance, and God is about to be glorified in the saints of God within the body of Christ. And folks, there is a lot of reason to really praise the Lord. Tonight we have coming on the air, joining me on the air tonight, is Augusto Perez. Most of you have already heard of Augusto Perez. He has gained a terrific amount of notoriety as he has been broadcasting what God has placed in his heart for a long, long time, but particularly in the last couple of months, he has been broadcasting a very particular message about what is going on above our heads. And what I find amazing is that when I was looking at an article written by the Unleavened Bread Ministries with David Eales, and then hearing Augusto Perez on a talk show recently as we were traveling across country, I realized that there are so many individuals who have been pursuing and pressing in and seeking the Lord that have gotten a piece of the puzzle. And when you put all those pieces together, there's a glorious picture. And those pieces are coming together through the written Word of God, through the Scriptures, and in the signs that are above us, the signs in the heavenlies. And tonight, once again, we are going to go into the book of Revelation, and we're going to discuss in a more meaningful way, and in a more in-depth way, and, quite frankly, a more urgent way, some of the things that we need to be hearing about. And while we're waiting for our guest to join us tonight, maybe we should talk just a few minutes about what's going on in Washington, D.C., what we are all basically setting back and wondering, you know, what is this all about, this debt ceiling? And I would describe it this way. This is what I've learned about it, and if anybody else has more knowledge on it, we'll talk about that. But first, I believe that our special guest, Augusto Perez, is called in here. Let me welcome him to the broadcast. I believe, Augusto, that's you. I'm not sure. No, that's not you. So we'll keep waiting. Augusto, as soon as you're ready, all you have to do is press 1 on your dial pad, and we'll be able to receive Augusto Perez tonight. And we just had a few calls coming in, and there it is right there. I believe that is Augusto. Let me welcome him to the broadcast. Good evening, Augusto Perez. God bless you, and welcome to the broadcast this evening.
Thank you, Vincent. Good to be with you tonight.
Well, I'm so glad that you are. My heart is rejoicing, Augusto, because of all these different pieces to the puzzle that are just coming together. And I want to give you just a little background of what happened to me in the last week or so. As I was traveling across country, someone sent to me a video clip of you doing an interview on The Bite Show. And as I was listening to you, I was basically, my jaw dropped to the ground, and I thought to myself, oh my goodness, this man is a man after our own heart. There is a definite knitting as far as the revelation of the times that we are in. We're sensing the same thing, hearing the same thing, and have been declaring it. But Augusto, I'm so glad that you're here tonight, and I can't wait to hear what God has put into your heart for this meeting this evening. Would you agree that there are several folks throughout the world right now that are getting all the different pieces to the puzzle, and we're beginning to see a glorious picture?
Absolutely. I was just meditating on that very thought this day, and the fact that how God is bringing together his chosen vessels with the same purpose, the same revelation, same mindset, same all these details that he's given pieces to everyone of those that he has been preparing for a long time. And it's coming together. You know, many times one of the things that I've always pondered is the enemy. We know there's a real kingdom of darkness, and we know the enemy has his plans and how he's bringing all his pieces together for his final onslaught. And I was pondering about this a few months ago, and I said, Lord, the enemy surely has got his plan and his people, his generals on the field. I mean, I'm sure that you are about to do something similar. And the Lord began to talk to me and reveal to me how he's beginning to bring together his chosen vessels, to raise them up. He's beginning to raise them up now, anoint them, giving them a special revelation. The same things, basically, with a few minor, you know, details that are not exactly the same, but he's doing that the same. So God has his people also in place, just like the enemy has his people in place. God is raising his people up right now, just like the enemy is also raising his. This is going to be, Vincent, a clash, a massive clash in the end times between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light.
I absolutely agree with that, Augusto Perez. And what I find amazing, what I would like to do is just spend a minute and talk with you. I know we're on the air, and I know that there are a lot of people tuning in tonight, you know, far-reaching places. But I want to just talk with you tonight for a moment, Augusto, and kind of share my heart with you what's been happening with me since January 2011, according to the Gregorian calendar. And I think this will tie into what you have been saying just a little bit, and maybe we can get on the same page quickly, because I know we're going to go deep into the Word tonight. But I was like any other pastor. I've been in the ministry for 19 years, Augusto, full-time with my beloved wife, Patricia. And after 19 years, the Lord has brought us into the Northwest region of Arkansas. And like any other pastor would do, at the end of a year, in the beginning of the year, I was seeking the Lord as to what the Word of the Lord was for 2011. And I came away from my time of prayer with the understanding that 2011 would be a year of judgment. And so I did my due diligence, and I searched the scriptures, particularly in the New Testament, on the word judgment. And I found three Greek words. I found the krema, the krino, and the krisis. And the krema and the krino judgments are those judgments that begin in the house of God. And when you break those all down in the Greek, they simply mean a time of separation, a time of division, a time of selecting and choosing. And so I realized that the judgment that begins in the house of God that we're going to see in 2011 is going to be a separation between the wheat and the chaff, the sheep and the goats. The Lord began to show me scriptures like two men in a bed, one taken, the other left, separation. Two women grinding at the mill, one taken, the other left, separation. Abraham moving on in the eternal purpose of God while Lot is trying to save his life. He showed me Gideon's army, all these different things of separation. And then the third Greek word was krisis, which is our English word crises. And he said that the crises in 2011 would be global. Well, since that time, in January 2011, we saw all these massive earthquakes, and we've seen the tornadoes, and we've seen all these different global events happening all over the world. And on March 11th, there's that number 11 again, we had the Fukushima, Japan earthquake took place. And this has been, and this is what I heard you talking about, and I was looking at 2011 with the crises that looms upon us, and then I realized that God said, I'm going to operate by my calendar, and he said, my calendar begins on April 18th, 2011 is the beginning of the year in the economy of God. So I said, okay, we've got April 18th, that's the first of the beginning of the year of 2011, and it will be during this year that the crises will hit. One other thing happened, Augusto, back in September of 2010, it was the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. We had been celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, and on that last day, we went to Genesis chapter 26, and we found that Isaac sowed in that land and reaped a hundredfold the same year, and we felt the interpretation of that for what we're doing is that God was giving us a year to prepare, and that year would be September 30th, 2011. Now, in September 30th, 2010, I had no idea about any of the things that we're talking about tonight and are going to be talking about. But suddenly I find out that September 30th is the first day of Tishri. It's the blowing of the trumpets. The fall feasts are coming in. And there are some very amazing things that are happening. And then one final thought, and then I'll be finished here, Augusto, is when I was in New York last week, my grandson and I, the last thing that he wanted to do when we were out there, he wanted to just go see the New York Stock Exchange building. So we went down into Wall Street District, and I was filming, and there it was, the massive New York Stock Exchange. And you know what the address of the New York Stock Exchange is in Wall Street?
111.
No, it's 11 Wall Street. Mm. And I walked away from 11 Wall Street, and now we have this crisis here. So God is talking in the 11s, and then I heard you, and you were declaring that God has given you this number 11 for a long time. And so that's kind of where I'm coming from, is just in a nutshell. Talk to us, Augusto. What is going on? Where are we?
Well, it all starts a few years ago. I was just getting ready to go to bed. And I was watching the late news, and you know, I don't know if many people don't believe that God speaks in different ways. I have had God speak to me through all kinds of different media, through children, through unbelievers. I mean, through all kinds of events. And this particular time, I was getting ready to go to bed. I was watching the news, and all of a sudden, right as the news ended, they started playing an old movie. I don't remember, one of those oldies, and I went to turn it off. I don't watch much movies. It really has to be something special for me to watch. I don't watch anything like that. And so I turned as I was turning the TV off, I hear a voice coming through the speakers saying this: "Do you know what time it is?" And I didn't make much of it. You know, probably it's just, you know, part of the dialogue that they're having. And so I proceeded to turn the TV off, and right before I turned it off, I hear the same voice said, "It's 12:20 a.m. And I turned it off. Well, as I looked at the clock, the digital clock on top of the TV, it was 12:20 a.m. exactly. And that was not a live program. It was a very old, flick that they were, showing. And as I did that, you know, I just felt the presence of God just go right through me. And I knew God was trying to tell me something big. And so I just sat in my chair and I started talking to him and said, "What are you trying to tell me, Lord? I know this is you talking. I know you. I've known you a long time. Now I know how you speak to me." So sure enough, he started telling me a scripture in Ezekiel 12. Chapter 12, verse 20 to the end. And as I read that, it really blew me away, because for the first time, you know, I began to get a sense of the times that we were entering. And as I read that the first thing I read, of course, was verse 20. And in verse 20 it says, "And the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall be desolate, and you shall know that I am the Lord." And then from then on, verse 21 says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that you have in the land of Israel, saying, the days are prolonged and every vision fails? Tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, the days are at hand, and the fulfillment of every vision. For there shall be no more any false vision, nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall no more be delayed, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and I will perform it, saith the Lord God. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he sees is for many days from now, and he prophesies of the times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be delayed any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God." Well, when I read that, I was just in shock, in awe, what the Lord was trying to tell me, but I still did not understand, because I have been seeing, as you already heard, that I have been seeing this number 11, or 1111, or 111 since 2001, which was the day that my dad passed away. I was with in the hospital with him, and he passed away on the morning of January 11 at 11:11 in the morning. And, you know, I didn't understand that back then, but I knew it was kind of weird, all these ones and 11s, you know.
Yes.
And I knew that at that time something was fixing to happen. Something had changed in the spiritual realm. And a few years later, of course, I have this experience. But the full revelation was not there yet. A year later, the following year, I have an experience in my bedroom that kind of really, I have never had anything like this happen to me before. You know, I was, you know, in the middle of a dream, but in the middle of a dream, this man comes up to me, which I didn't recognize. I believe he must have been an angel of the Lord, because I did not recognize. It was not the Lord, but it was an angel of the Lord, came up to me almost to my face, almost, you know, like when somebody gets in your face like that. He got in my face and said these words to me. He said, "It's time to come into alignment." And when he said that the first time, I almost tried to argue with him. Like, you know, I am in alignment. I am preaching your gospel. I am doing what you asked me to do. You know, I'm living a godly life. You know, what are you talking about? I am in alignment. But this being wouldn't argue with me. He just repeated the same thing again. He said, "It's time to come into alignment." And I snapped out of that, and I came to my senses, and there I was in my bed, sitting in my bed. I had no idea what had just happened. So I started putting two and two together. I started seeking the Lord about what he was trying to tell me, because I wish the Lord God Almighty would give me everything in one shot, but he doesn't, as you well know. He does not give you everything all at once.
There you go. So are you there? There you go.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I just, there was a, you faded out there for 1 second. Okay, go ahead.
And so anyways, as I continued to seek out the Lord, he began to reveal to me that his plan for the end of times was beginning to come into place. And I had to be in the right alignment. I did not understand the revelation or the reality of being out of alignment. When anything is out of alignment in the slightest bit, it doesn't mean that it is in sin. It doesn't mean that it is doing things bad or things that are not pleasant to the Lord. It could be as little as not doing what it is that God is really wanting you to do. It could be as small as not being at where God wants you to be. It could be 1 inch. It could be a 1 degree, half of a degree off. And that could be enough to make us be out of alignment enough that we are not going to be where we need to be when this thing happens. So I began to think about this and ponder about this and meditate about it, about the reality of what God was telling me to seek out His will, what He's trying to tell me, and the reality of the times. Because He had already told me if I knew what time it was. And I really didn't back then. I really didn't know what time it was. And then he came back and told me it's time to come into alignment. So now I'm beginning to get a picture that the Lord has really wanted me to realize that we are coming into a very special season in the arena of God, in the timetable of God. And I had the sense that everything that God had prophesied from the beginning of time was about to come to pass. I began to, the Lord began to deal with me about the day of the Lord. He kept coming at me with a theme, the day of the Lord, and the day of the Lord. Well, I did a search, a research on the day of the Lord. You know, the Christian church in America talks a lot about the rapture. It talks a lot about, you know, all these things. But I have never heard really many ministries talk about the day of the Lord. And as I began to research this theme, my eyes began to open to the reality, Vincent, that the day of the Lord is spoken of more in the scriptures, in the Bible, than just about any other thing. I found 66 times the Bible referring to the day of the Lord, or the day of God's wrath, or the day of the of Yahweh, or the day of judgment. You know, in different ways, but it all referred to the day of the Lord. And it wasn't pretty. It was not pretty. Everything I found out was really, really shocking. However, in the midst of that shocking reality of what the day of the Lord is, I also began to see the good part of it, the good aspect of it. And the good news about the day of the Lord was that had to do with the coming back of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. And I began to realize that when the Lord came back, when Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, came back to planet Earth, it was going to be the initiation of the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord and the coming of Jesus Christ were synonymous. It had to do one with the other. They were wrapped together. You cannot have one without the other. So the Bible calls it the great and terrible day of the Lord. And I began to think about that, and I said, yeah, it's terrible for the ones that don't know Him, but it is great and wonderful for the ones that do know Him and are His children. So, you know, the scriptures are full of adjectives, you know, about the coming of the Lord, the glory, exceeding glory, the glorious appearing, the wonderful manifestation of the sons of God, all these things, you know, talking about the coming of the Lord, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then at the same time, you see when the coming of the Lord takes place, it is a real terrible time. It is a time of unprecedented turmoil on the earth, cataclysmic events, all kinds of signs in the heavens, all kinds of deceptions, all kinds of demonic manifestations. And basically, the earth is turned upside down. Hell breaks loose. So I could see the two sides. So I began to seek the Lord even more about these things. And sure enough, the Lord began to reveal to me many things. One of the things, one of the most powerful experiences that God gave me, Vincent, was way back in 2004. I had just come out of a service wonderful, wonderful service. Presence of God was so strong. And I went to bed. This happened in the state of Ohio. And that night, as I was sleeping, I had what the Bible calls the vision of the night. You know, the book of Daniel, it refers to a vision of the night, which is, some people call it prophetic vision. Others call it a dream or prophetic dream. Anyways, I had this experience. I was watching the heavens. It was pitch black. And all of a sudden, I see three stars up here. I see three stars. These stars were brighter than normal. They were not normal stars. They were very bright and slightly bigger than your normal star. Well, they began to move around, move about, and they began to, you know, write on the blackness of the sky, like a black chalkboard. And I began to see them forming letters and phrases in a language that I had never seen before. It seemed to me it was some type of Hebrew or ancient Hebrew, maybe, but I'm not sure. As I continued to watch this, all of a sudden I began to comprehend what they were writing, and I began to be able to read it. And they were writing, these three stars were writing things dealing with the end of times, dealing with the day of the Lord, dealing with the horrific events that were about to transpire in the end of times. I began to read about horrific hunger that was coming upon the earth, wars, tremendous bloody wars that were going to take place. I began to see horrific cataclysms of all kinds, earthquakes, volcanoes, the earth splitting, falling into the sea, tidal waves, tsunamis. I began to see all kinds of these things. And then I began to see persecution coming upon the believers. And then while I was reading these things, I began to see it. It became a film. It became a movie. In living color, I began to see it. And then after a few moments, as I was watching this movie, I was sucked into it. I was pulled into it. And I was right there in the middle of it. And the thing that really impacted me the most about this whole thing, Vincent, was the pain and the suffering that I felt from the people. It was so deep and so horrible that I began to cry and I began to perspire at the pain and the suffering of the people, the screams and the terrible things that they were experiencing. And I woke up from that. I woke up, and as I woke up full of sweat, full of perspiration, and tears just all over my face. And I woke up in a state of almost like shock. I was not able to share this vision with anyone for over 2 or 3 years. And I never forgot. I have never forgotten how vivid that was. Well, just about 2 or 3 years ago, I had another dream in the night. I saw, again, I saw three stars. I saw one of them was slightly bigger than the other two, and the other two were brighter than your normal star in the heaven. And they were getting very close to the earth, and they started becoming very threatening. Well, as I was watching these three stars, I wake up, and I wrote it down. I write down every experience I have, and I have a whole book full of them. And the Lord began to show me that this event was getting closer. Well, just a few months ago, I'm sure you're aware of it, we started hearing about this comet and Lanin. And it was discovered in December by, a Russian amateur astronomer, Leonid L. Lanin. And it's just incredible that nobody had seen it until December, but that's the way it turns out. So in December, they discover L. Lanin, and shortly after that, they discovered another comet, the name of Honda. And a short time after that, another comet was discovered. I think it's called Levi. So there is a total now of three comet or cometary objects approaching our planet, and they're going to be around the same vicinity at the end of this year, starting in the fall. And when I heard that, and when I found out about this, it just blew me away, because I remembered the vision that God had given me back in 2004. And I knew, Vincent, that this had to do with the end of times. I knew this had to do with the day of the Lord. I knew that when we saw those three comets or those three stars in the heavens, whenever those three stars appear, I knew that that was going to be a big harbinger, a sign to me and to the world that this thing was about to happen, was about to begin. Now, I'm not talking about the coming of the Lord. I'm not talking about the rapture. It could happen, but I'm not saying that's what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the beginning of the day of the Lord, the beginning of the end of times, that the Lord said, when you see these things happen, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. So when I found out that there was going to be three comets, one bigger than the other two, and they were going to be around planet Earth, probably visible to us here on Earth, starting in the fall around Rosh Hashanah this year, it just sent all kinds of signals to me. And that is when I began to really receive a tremendous input from all over the Earth, all over people, emails from different parts of the world, people telling me that they were receiving visions and they were receiving dreams about basically the same type of things. And, you know, the scripture says in the book of Joel that in the last days, right before the day of the Lord, he was going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And the sons and your daughters were going to prophesy, and the young men were going to see visions and the old man dreams. And, you know, and he said this was going to happen. And everyone that calls on the name of the Lord is going to be saved. So this is happening right now. I have never seen such an explosion of people. I'm not talking about prophets. I'm not talking about men of God or women of God. I'm talking about normal people getting visions, getting dreams, people that normally never had dreams, never. They never used to have any dreams or visions. Now they're getting them, and they're receiving basically the same type of things that God has given me. I just spoke to, last year, a few months ago, I spoke to a young man over in the state of Idaho. And, you know, he came up to me when I was there, and he said, I need to speak to you, Gusto. And I said, okay. He said, I can't talk to most pastors because they think I'm crazy. He said, because I have seen so many things in dreams and visions, but when I went to your website and I began to see what God had shown you, I said to myself, well, he will believe me, because many of the things that I have seen in dreams and visions is the same thing that God has shown Augusto. So when he started to share some of the things with me, sure enough, it's basically the same things that the Lord has been sharing with me and many other people. So these things are happening now all over the earth. And I believe that God is trying to tell the people to wake up, to shake themselves, and to come into alignment, to really begin to really get close to him, to really enter in through the straight and narrow door, because this thing, we're going to be in for a really rough ride. And the only protection that we're going to have through all of these events coming upon us is going to be if we are in alignment with the Lord, if we are in him. If we are in him, if we are protected in him, if we are sealed with his spirit, we have the blood on the doorposts of our hearts, and we are walking with him, if we are overcoming. I have been the Lord has been dealing with me so much this last few weeks and months about the overcomers, the importance of being an overcomer in this life that we are living, if we are going to be able to reign and rule with Him. And, you know, some of the things that the Lord has shown me and it's even given me now, I can't share much because the Church of Jesus Christ is not ready. It's not ready to receive most of it because they're still walking at such a low level that they can't... they can receive it. But God is wanting His people now to get so into Him, so close to Him, eat His word so much, and be so close to Him and so full of Him that they will be immune to any deception that may come our way. One of the things I have also seen, Vincent, is this. There is coming a very deep gross darkness upon this world. That was an experience the Lord gave me. It must have been a couple of years ago. And when He showed me that, I had no idea what He was talking about. But slowly but surely, I began to understand it. The first one was at the beginning of last year, when I was told three times that there was great darkness coming upon the earth. Now, I did not comprehend what that was, but I was told three times, and I know that every time the Lord tells you something two or three times, you know, verily, verily, I say unto you, you know, verily, verily, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ taught like that. He repeated things twice. When something is said three times, it is done. It is a done deal. Was a sign, a seal that this is thus, and no one can change this. No amount of prayer can change it. No fasting and prayer can change it. No intercessory prayer, no prayer, no prayer change. Nothing can change this. This has already been determined in the courts of heaven. And there are things that we can change through prayer and intercession. And if not change it altogether, at least lessen it. There are things we can, but there are things that once they are determined in the kingdom of heaven, once they are determined in the courts of heaven, no one can change it. And this is one of those things that the Lord showed me and told me, this is it. It's coming. Nobody can stop it. But the angel of the Lord also showed me and told me that there was a lot of activity taking place in heaven at this moment. And he also told me that three times. Well, when that happened, I really did a lot of seeking the Lord and prayer because, you know, I had never heard such a word in my life. I had never heard such a word. And the more I began to seek the Lord and research and seek out, you know, search out this information, I began to understand that this darkness that the Lord was talking about is both a physical darkness and a spiritual darkness. And as I began to pray about it, Vincent, the Lord began to show me that this darkness that is coming upon this whole world is going to be so strong and it's going to be so pervasive that if the children of God are not full of Him, if they're not full of His Spirit, if they're not fully walking with Him in purity and, you know, in singleness of heart, they will not be able to stand for you know, through these things that are coming, through this darkness. This darkness is going to be very, very powerful and very strong. I believe this is what the Apostle Paul talked about when he said that, you know, he talked about the great deception. He talked about, what was the word? A strong delusion is the word he used. A very strong delusion that is coming upon the whole world. And if you read the words of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, he always was warning his disciples about, you know, the deception, not being deceived. Be not deceived, especially when he was talking about, you know, the days prior, just prior to his coming. He said, be not deceived. Do not be deceived by anybody that comes saying, I am he. Or anybody telling you he is hidden in the chambers in the desert, or he is over here. And he says, because my coming is going to be like the lightning that comes from the east all the way, shines all the way to the west. So likewise shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So, you know, we hear a lot today about many of these people that are saying about the Mahdi is about to appear, about Maitreya, you know, about Isa, you know, who is the Jesus of the Muslims, and all these different things that are beginning to take place, you know, and all this the demonic UFO delusion. This is all part of a very strong delusion that is coming upon the whole world, and most people are not strong enough in the Lord, in the Word of God, and in the Spirit of God to recognize and discern these things. And secondly, they're not strong enough to resist it. I had one of my daughters in the gospel, in the ministry. She had a dream a few months ago, and she sent it to me, and I asked her to send it to me in writing because I thought it was really a message from the Lord to His church. Well, the dream she had was basically this. She said she had been fasting and praying, and she saw one night she fell asleep in her chair, and she saw the most beautiful man coming in the sky, and she thought it was Jesus Christ. He looked like Jesus Christ. And she said that this being was glowing. He was glowing, a beautiful light, very, very appealing. And all around this being, there were many, many angels coming with him. And she said that in her own mind, she said to herself, this must be the coming of the Lord, Jesus Christ. And as she was thinking about that, those angels around the being that she thought was Jesus Christ began to turn into pigs. One by one, they started turning into pigs, grotesque-looking pigs. But she said that the image of Jesus Christ continued to be there. He remained beautiful and appealing and very magnetic in this beautiful light. And she heard a voice from behind her tell her, many of my people will follow him. Many of my people will follow him. And she woke up. Well, I knew what that meant. I told her what that meant, and I believe, Vincent, that we are about to see the manifestation of a person that is going to, this is the person that is going to lead the new world order that these people are waiting for. You know, the powers that be, they're waiting for this individual, and this individual is alive. This individual is already in place. He's just waiting for the right time. And, you know, this is going to happen. And the tragedy of it is, and this must happen. This must happen so that the return of the Lord takes place. But the tragedy of this is that many of God's people are going to fall for this thing, just as much as the rest of the world, because they are not discerning. They have no idea about the Word of God. They are not deep in the Word of God, and they are not full of the Spirit of God to be able to discern what spirit they're looking at. And so many people are going to be swept away. Well, as I continue to ponder on these things, at the end of last year, I had another dream in the night, and I saw the darkness. I was looking outside my window, and it was a beautiful sunny day. The sun was out. The wind was blowing softly. The trees were, you know, just moving softly. The birds were singing. When all of a sudden I began to see the skies begin to turn black. And, you know, the lights begin to disappear. And it began gradually until everything was black, pitch black. I thought it was a solar eclipse. But then I changed my mind. I said, this can't be a solar eclipse because every single light was gone. I mean, there was no light. There was no stars. The stars were gone. The sun was gone. The lights, there was no lights anywhere. It was pitch black. It was like the darkness had like it had like texture. You could almost touch it. And I woke up from that dream, and again, I didn't understand what the Lord was trying to show me until I began to pray and seek the presence of God and answers to many of these things. Now, I don't know if you remember, Vincent, from the book of Exodus, when one of the plagues that came upon Egypt, as Moses was trying to lead the people out of Egypt from Pharaoh, one of the plagues that God sent was a total utter darkness, gross darkness that came upon that whole region. And that is what I think about when I remember this dream I had. It was that type of darkness. It's not your normal darkness. This is not a solar eclipse. And I believe that this is got something to do with what is going to happen in the day of the Lord. This has got something to do with the approaching neutron star, which, you know, I'm sure you've heard about it. I'm sure that most people have heard about it by now. I don't believe personally that Elanin is that star. I have reasons to say that. But I believe that Elanin, which will be coming by this fall, I believe it's going to do some damage. Maybe not much, maybe much, I don't know, because nobody seems to know for a fact. However, that object is not the neutron star, the brown dwarf. That is not it. That object is coming behind Elanin. Is about a year to 2 years behind. And I believe that this one is going to be a precursor, a harbinger of what is coming afterwards. And I believe that this is going to be the last opportunity for humankind to turn to God. I really do. I really believe that with all of my heart, this is going to be God's last act of mercy on humankind. Humankind will be given an opportunity to turn to Him, to surrender, to repent, to turn their lives around, and to serve Him. It will be something incredible. I believe that it will be something that it will resonate with everyone. I don't care how wicked they are. I don't care how evil, how wicked they are. They're going to be given a chance. They're going to be given one last chance to make it right, to turn around. And many will, and many won't. Most probably won't. The Bible says most won't. If we read the scriptures right, it says that they didn't repent from their sorceries and their fornications and their adultery. So, you know, we know that the majority probably will not. But there will be many that will. And I believe that that is going to be our part. That is going to be our task. I believe to bring in that last, those last remnant that will finally be coming in. The few, the last few that will come in right before the wrath of God is poured down. And some people may be listening to me and saying, "Well, how do you how can you be so sure, Brother Augusto? How can you be so sure that Jesus Christ is not coming in 1,000 years, in another 100 years, 1,000 years? I mean, how are you so sure?" Well, again, I have reasons. I have my reasons to believe that. There are some things that the Lord has shown me that I haven't even shared with anybody. But I believe that we are so close to these things happening, so close to the day of the Lord taking place. This is not even 10 years away. This is not even 10 years away, Vincent. I would say this is, we are within a handful of years away from these things happening. And I'm not saying that Jesus is coming in 2012 or 2013 or 14. That's not what I'm saying. But I believe that this is how close these events of the day of the Lord are to happening. And the Lord has shown me things. He has shown me things that I can't share right now, but it's not going to be 10 years from now or 20 years from now. And I believe that probably even this year we're going to begin to see the beginning of these things take place. We're seeing how the economy of this country is just shaking, is wobbling, is almost like a drunkard about to go down. 3 years ago, I was, two years ago, in the year, in January of 2009, I had just returned from Cuba. I do mission work in Cuba, I do mission work in Honduras, and in Mexico, and I try to go to Cuba almost every year. That year, I had just returned, and I was staying with a dear friend of mine, pastor in Miami. I was not feeling well, I was indisposed. I had stomach problems. I retired early. Well, that night, the whole night, the Spirit of God began to talk to me. I mean, it was incredible, the most incredible thing. And He started talking to me. First, He started to show me about what He was going to do in Miami, how He was going to use Joe Robbie Stadium, which I knew it. I lived in Miami, Florida, for 26 years. I always knew it as Joe Robbie Stadium. It's still called Joe Robbie Stadium. I knew that the owner of the Dolphins back then was, right before I left Miami, was Wayne Huizenga. And that's who I thought was the owner. But the Lord began to talk to me and said, the owners of the Dolphins. And He began to show me that He was going to use those owners of the Dolphins and Joe Robbie Stadium to bring about a massive revival in right in that stadium in Miami. And He began to show me other areas and other things. And then He began to tell me how the powers that be were planning a super devaluation to bury the dollar, to kill the dollar. And I knew back then and there and then that the death of the dollar, it was just a matter of time. The dollar was going to die. It was going to be super devalued. Now, I went to the pastor early in the next morning. I told him, I said, I need to talk to somebody that you know that has experience in finances. I need to talk to that person because I have a few questions I need to ask him. So he arranged a meeting with this man that is very knowledgeable in finances and economics, and I met with him. We went to the meeting, and I told him, I said, I had a very interesting, experience last night, and God began to tell me things that were going to come to pass. One of them has to do with the dollar. So I asked him, I said, what does it mean, a super devaluation of the dollar? What's that mean? So he said, oh, well, he said, I could tell you maybe what happened in Argentina, you know, some years ago. He said that the peso, the Argentine peso, became so devalued that people basically could not, they needed their whole salary, groceries. They went to the store and it took them a whole check to just buy a few groceries. And so I said to him, well, then is that what a super devaluation is? And then he kind of thought about it for a second and said, well, no, not really. A super devaluation really would have to be something more like what happened in Russia. And he said, in Russia, and also in Germany, he said it happened, people would take, you know, truckfuls of money and basically just to buy a loaf of bread and some, you know, something else to eat. That's all they could do, just buy one meal with a truck full of money. That's how worthless the currency became. And I said, wow. So is that what the Lord was trying to tell me is going to happen to the dollar? A super devaluation? He said, probably. Probably. And we are seeing right now, as we watch the news, what is happening with Congress and the White House. They're trying to raise the debt limit and the budget so that they can function. This country is broke. This country is bankrupt. This country is just trying to survive just another year, just a few more months, but the handwriting is on the wall. The handwriting is on the wall. It is inevitable. We are indebted to China. We are indebted to Japan. We are indebted to Russia. China already called in its loan. China wants to get paid. And this country cannot pay. We have no money. And so what happens, you know, the question I have is what happens when China insists on getting paid, and rightly so, and the United States is not able to deliver. They default. Well, what we're going to see here is what we have already been seeing all over the world, in Greece and in some other countries. The people begin to go into the streets. People begin to revolt. We're going to see the banks closing, fulfilling the prophecy of David Wilkerson. David Wilkerson, may God rest his soul. I mean, the precious man of God. He went to be with the Lord not long ago. God gave him tremendous dreams and visions about that very same thing. And we are about to see that come to pass. And from what I have listened to people that know what they're talking about say, when this thing happens, the dollar is going to be devalued anywhere from 33% to 75%. So, I mean, people can do their own calculations. It's not going to be pretty. So, as a result of this, what we are seeing right now, and of course, it takes a dumb person, or it takes a person totally out of touch with the reality of what's going on, not to know what I'm telling you is the truth, that there are troops being deployed all over the country right now. There are being troops. Troops are being deployed in the northeast, in the central area part of the country, in the Pacific Northwest, in the southeast, all over the country. Troops are being deployed. Armored vehicles are being deployed. I have this friend of mine that works with the father of this young man. He is in the military. He was just redeployed to, I think, the area of Iowa, or that central part of the country, and he was telling her what he was trained to do. And so these people are being deployed all over because the nation, the government, is expecting. They know that this is going to happen. They know that the crash is imminent. If it doesn't happen now, it may happen a few months down the road, but it's going to happen. It's imminent. And so they're putting all these troops in place just to be able to contain the rage of the people when they find out that they went to bed one night with money in the bank, and when they got up the next day, they were broke. They didn't have nothing. And that's what's going to happen. And this is the tragedy of where we are today. And only those people that are rich in the Lord, that their bank account in heaven is full, will really be able to make it through this thing that's coming. And I have been telling the people, I am sure you have been doing the same thing. That's it. For months now, for years, I have been telling the people, prepare spiritually, prepare mentally, prepare physically. Put away some food, put away some water, get out of debt, you know, pay all your bills, get out of debt, don't pay your mortgage, pay your car, and, you know, just be, don't have any debt, and invest what you got in having some food for your family, some water, things of that nature, those tangibles. Because anything that is not tangible is going to go up in smoke. Anything that people have invested just in money, cash, on CDs in the bank, or those type of things, IRAs, those things are going to go up in smoke. I have been telling the people this for years now, and some have listened and some have not. But it's going to be a brutal awakening when this happens, and this is going to be just the beginning. This is going to be just the beginning, and but the people that know their God, they're going to do great exploits. The people that know their God, they're going to do great exploits. I believe that God is going to take care of his own. He showed that to me as well, that those that are in him have nothing to fear, nothing to fear. But because he is going to shake everything is going to be shaken. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And only those that have a solid foundation are going to remain. A solid foundation is the foundation that is not built on sand, it's not built on wood or stubble. It's a foundation that is built on rock. It's built on the rock, and it's built on precious stones, and it's built on that type of foundation, which is godly foundation, on the Word of God, the words that Yeshua spoke, that Jesus Christ spoke, his sayings, his words, his truth, his kingdom. That's the only foundation that will make it. And so everything else is going to be just, you know, burned up. It's going to go up in smoke. And we are right now sitting on the verge of many of these things taking place, Vincent. Many of these things. We are about on the verge of these things beginning to take place. And tomorrow is the beginning of August. I believe it is August 1st. And, there's many things that people have been saying. You know, of course, you heard the prophecy, you know, of May 21st, that you know, the rapture was going to take place and the end of the world. And I was in Honduras when that happened. And the precious people out there in Honduras came to me and asked me, you know, Brother Perez, do you think that this is going to happen? I said, no, don't even pay attention to it. That is not going to be it. We are in the end of times. We are getting close to the day of the Lord, but don't pay attention to that date. That's not going to happen on that date. These things are not going to happen on one specific date. This is going to be a process, unfolding process that is going to begin to take place. And I believe it's going to really begin to pick up this fall. But by that, I'm not saying that it's going to happen. Everything's going to happen this fall or this Rosh Hashanah. But I do believe that there's going to be a release. There's going to be a threshold. Something's going to happen. Something is going to happen to trigger this chain of events in Rosh Hashanah this year. By that, I'm not saying that it's going to be everything's going to happen on that day and the rapture's going to happen and the day of the Lord is going to happen. No, not one day. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I do believe that it's going to be a release. It's going to be a break. It's going to be the breakthrough. It's going to be the beginning. It's going to be the release that is going to trigger a chain of events that will set in motion things that will bring about the end of times and eventually the return of the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. At the end of last year, Vincent, and you can stop me whenever you need to say something, okay? But at the end of last year, I was getting ready to go to bed, and I received a prophetic word from the Lord. And what the word of the Lord said to me was this. He said, something is going to happen next year in 2011 in the United Nations. Something of great importance is going to happen in the United Nations in 2011 that will prepare the world for the arrival of the New World Order. So something monumental is going to happen in the United Nations. Now, that this happened last year on December, okay? Well, guess what I just found out just a couple of weeks ago that they're fixing to do in the United Nations in the month of September? Are you there, Vincent? Hello?
Yes. Oh, no. Okay, we're still here? Are we on the air? Augusto, give me a call back. I heard you loud and clear, and I think that we're all still there. Test, 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 1, 2. I heard every word Augusto said. So, Father God, bring him back on the air. And let's see what's going on here. Chat room, are we okay? There we are. There we are. Augusto, we are waiting for you to call in, sir. I heard every word you said until the moment you asked if I were there. And I was there, but somehow I just simply hit the button. Hello, Augusto, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, I heard every single thing you said. You were live the entire time. I simply muted my own microphone here, and so continue
okay.
on. We're back on track.
All right. So, as I was saying, you know, I believe that we are at that time right now, Vincent, where this thing, you know, is about to enter into, you know, we're in the threshold right now.
Now, Augusto, may I just say this? You were talking about something that you heard this week in the United Nations. Can we get back there?
Okay. Got you. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, what I had heard this last few days and a couple of weeks is that the United Nations have just made a statement that they're going to return, or actually they're going to split Jerusalem and give half of Jerusalem, the southern half of Jerusalem, to the Palestinian state, and whether Israel agrees with it or not. Now, I first heard this news on the, on the internet, and I checked the report on the news article, and it checked out. I mean, this really is true, and you know, I'm going to wait for this one, but so far I have checked it, and it checks out, and the United Nations has, in fact, you know, which goes along with what President Barack Obama had originally said to, you know, Netanyahu, that, you know, that Israel was to go back to its pre-1967 borders. So now the United Nations is jumping in, and they're going to do it whether Israel agrees or not. So when I heard that, I said, my God, this is it right there. That is the involvement of the United Nations that the Lord warned me about, that is going to prepare the way for the New World Order. And they are going to do it this year. Guess when they're going to do it?
September.
In the month of September.
Yeah. Augusto, there's so much. There's been such a weighty anointing. The dew of heaven is upon our broadcast. I know it is. The words that you've spoken are truly coming forth from the heart of our Father. And there's just so much that is happening at this moment. What I would like to do for a moment, I'd like you to speak, if you wouldn't mind, just for anybody that may be tuning in, just clarify, maybe take 10 or 15 minutes, clarify the constellations, clarify Virgo, clarify Nemesis, clarify exactly what is happening over our heads right now as we're talking about things that are going on the earth. We're talking about things that are happening all around us, the condition of the church. And then I want to get into the book of Revelation. I want to share some things with you and get your take on it. But what is happening over our heads right now that is confirming the signs of the times that we are witnessing upon the earth?
Well, first of all, the first sign that Jesus said would take place, he says that there would be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. Well, there are so many signs in the sun. There are so many things going on in the sun right now. The sun is acting so strange. The color of the sun is changed. It's no longer yellow, it's white. The size of the sun is changing. It is growing, it is expanding. Well, as a matter of fact, everything seems to be expanding. The earth is expanding. That is why it's cracking. There are cracks, giant cracks appearing
right.
in Mexico. They're appearing mm-hmm. in Africa. The reason that the earth is cracking, Vincent, is because it is expanding. Magma is rising. The core of the earth is heating up. And so every planet in our solar system is being affected. Saturn has been affected. The rings of Saturn have been affected. The scientists have detected they are changing colors. They're changing. Mars is being affected. Jupiter is being affected. So it's not just planet Earth, like Al Gore wants to make us believe that it is, you know, global warming because of the flatulence of cows and, you know, the exhaust of vehicles. That has nothing to do with what is happening on the Earth. It's much more powerful. The sun is the engine of everything that happens in the weather. It's the sun. And, of course, what happened in the Gulf during last year, you know, with a giant spill there. But the main engine that drives what happens in the weather is the sun, and the sun is acting crazy. And so there are signs in the sun. The sun went through a season of practically no activity a few years. Now it's going really active. It's beginning to emit solar flares. The scientists are expecting a massive year for solar flares next year. Massive solar flares. There are signs in the moon. There have been people that have been picking up changes in the moon. It's almost like the moon is been flipped. It's not the same. It's not the same as it was for all times that we were used to. It seems like the moon somehow has been shifted. The Bible said there will be signs in the sun, there will be signs in the moon, there will be signs in the stars. We are seeing now the signs in the stars. Different things. We are hearing about comets. We've been hearing about comets now for several years. You know, all these other comets that came by, Comet Levi, of course, Comet Halley, and all the other ones. And now this one is going to be probably the most notorious, Comet Elenin. The difference with Elenin is that from years ago, and I have tables, you know, of these things. When the Chile earthquake took place in 2010, that same day that earthquake took place, there was an alignment between Comet Elenin, the Earth, and the Sun. Then the same thing happened with Christchurch earthquake. When that happened, there was an alignment between Elenin, the Earth, and the Sun. And of course, this March 11 of this year, which was the massive 9.0 earthquake that took place off the coast of Japan, causing that massive tsunami that destroyed a big chunk of that eastern portion of Japan, and to this day has not recovered. It was an alignment between Elenin, the Earth, and the Sun. Okay? Now, if the people that don't believe this can be proven very, very easily by going to the Jet Propulsion Lab website. And you can go to that website and look up Elenin, and then go to the orbital, and he will give you the orbital, and you can, you know, it's the website. You can click on it, and he will give you the orbital. He will show you Elenin going on orbit, and he will give you the date, and you can see where it's going and the distance and all that stuff. It's a pretty cool site. And you go there and you check up on Elenin, and when it comes to the fall of this year, Elenin on September 28, 29, around there, 30th, which happens to be Rosh Hashanah, Comet Elenin is going to be right between the Earth and the Sun, exactly in alignment. Now, bear in mind that when this happened on the Japanese earthquake, Elenin was much further away. The same thing with the earthquake in Chile. Elenin was much further away. Now, this fall, if this thing is just a comet, as some people say, as as the discoverer say, okay, Leonid Elenin says it's just a comet, you know, a few miles across. If that is reality, what it is, and it could be, and I'm going to share why I say it could be, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If that is indeed what it is, then when this happens in Rosh Hashanah, we may see some signs in the heavens, and we may see some, you know, some things happen, but maybe the result as far as earthquakes and tsunamis and things like that may not be devastating. However, on the other hand, if this thing is not a comet like they say it is, a few miles across, if this thing is like some other people are saying, and they have measured it, and they say it is 27,000 miles across. They have measured, and they say it's 27,000 miles. And for comparison, the Earth measures about 8,000 miles in diameter. Okay?
Okay.
So 27,000 miles would be a little over three times the size of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So if that is, in fact, what this thing is, if this in fact is true, we are going to see some major things taking place on the Earth, like major earthquakes, probably as big as the one in Japan or bigger, because we are now going to be much closer, and we're going to be right. Elenin is going to be right between us and the sun, which means it could affect the gravity wells between the Earth and the sun. And, I mean, we're going to be in trouble if that thing is three times the size of Earth. So if that thing is three times the size of Earth, another thing that could happen, Vincent, is we're going to see a massive solar eclipse that may last for 1 to 3 days, because this thing, you know, bear in mind, when the moon comes between us and the sun, you know, we get a solar eclipse for just a few moments, but we get a total solar eclipse. And the moon is a speck of dust compared to the Earth, and the Earth is a speck of dust compared to the sun. This thing is much bigger than the Earth, if it is what people say it is. So we might get blocked out from sunlight for a day or two or three, which goes to, you know, there are prophecies that say that there will be 3 days of darkness before the day, the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Okay. All right. Now, the thing
Augusto,
that really... Yeah.
May I just interject a thought here just for a moment?
Sure.
Let me just interject what I was teaching this afternoon in our book of Revelation Bible study was in Revelation chapter 6, and I think this is a good point to interject it just because of what you said. And I was dealing with the fifth seal, actually the sixth seal in Revelation 6:12, and I just want to read these five verses quickly. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Now, that great earthquake in the Greek is basically talking about a mega shaking. There was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, which is your solar eclipse you just talked about, and the moon became as blood. Now, this is also a spiritual darkness, that gross darkness through the powers of darkness that are coming. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. Now, I looked up the phrase fell under the earth, and it said the stars of heaven fell towards the earth. And in a writing by David Eales, he said that the polar shifts that are going to take place because of the gravitational pulls would actually cause the earth, and some people in the scientific community said it is possible that the earth will stop rotating for 7 days if this thing is what it is. And it will cause the earth to experience what would appear to be stars falling towards the earth in this massive way. And then it says in verse 13, not only were the stars of heaven fell unto the earth or toward the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And you were talking earlier about a great shaking, and David Eales was talking about a great shaking. And in my prayers early this morning, Father God told me, do not hold on to anything tightly, because the people that are squeezing tightly the things of this world to protect them, the shaking is going to be so great, it's going to shake everything from them. So don't hold on to anything tightly. So we have that. And then 14, the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And I was amazed when I looked up the word departed. It confirmed the prophecy that the year 2011 would be a year of judgment, which means a year of separation. Everything would be separated. And that word departed in the Greek actually means, Augusto, to be separated. So the heaven was literally separated by this event as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And we know that that massive earthquake in Japan on March 11th, that there was a moving out of its place. It was literally right. Shifted certain degrees, right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's
and then,
right.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll stop there for a minute.
What I was going to say was that, see, when you have a massive object coming into our solar system, it affects the gravitational fields of every planet. That is why the magnetic field of the Earth is messed up. That is why the magnetic poles are shifting. You've heard in the news now that, I mean, even in the 6 o'clock news, they're saying that it's moving, what, like 40 miles a year. I have heard people even say it's moving daily. But the fact is that the magnetic north is moving, is shifting. They had to readjust, you know, the airline flights and the markers at the Tampa airport and many other airports because it's moving so fast. Well, the reason the magnetic north is moving, Vincent, is because this object is approaching, and it is affecting the magnetic fields of the planet Earth, not only of planet Earth, but of all the planets in our solar system. I believe that this scripture that you read, that the heavens departed like a scroll, I really believe that is going to be something that is going to scare the living daylights out of the strongest of men.
Yes.
Because we have never experienced anything like this. The thing that people need to understand is this also as well, okay? We're not only dealing with an object that is coming into our solar system. We are also, you know, and this event happens every 3,600 years or so, between 34 and 3,600 years, okay? Plus or minus. But there is another event that is also taking place. And this is something that most people don't talk about. And that is, we are entering the ecliptic plane, or our galactic plane, of our solar system, of the Milky Way galaxy. We are, on December 21st, 2012, we are going to basically, you know, go through the galactic plane of this galaxy, of the center of our galaxy. And we have never ever gone through this before as a human species, because this only happens once every 24 to 26,000 years. And we know the human race is what, maybe 6,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we have never ever experienced anything like this. We are encountering things, and we are about to encounter things that we have never encountered before. I was just reading an article that we are entering a photon belt. Our galaxy is entering a photon belt. You know, we're talking about things, Vincent, that we have no idea. You know, there's no science, there's no scientist, there's no astrophysicist that can tell you or can tell us what is going to happen, because we have never experienced anything like this before. We have no reference. We have no reference to talk from. We've never been through anything like this. So we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. And the words that come back to me are the words of Yeshua, you know, Jesus, when he said, there have never been anything like it, no, nor shall there ever be again.
Amen. Amen. Augusto, let me just interject some scripture here because, you know, we're looking through the biblical lens at the signs of the times, and I know we have the astronomical view, but what I understand where we are right now, I could capsulize in just a few minutes. And by the way, to confirm what you said about events coming that are going to terrify the best of us, in verse 15 of Revelation 6, the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So as I interpret scripture, I realize that the four horses of the apocalypse of Revelation chapter 6, the first four seals are the four horses, they are consistent with Matthew chapter 24 verses 4 to 8, which we know is the beginning of sorrows. Now, anytime when you see horses leave the gate, the gate is open, the horses leave, well, they're certainly not in full stride until they really get going. I believe we've already entered into the beginning of sorrows, which is, I believe, the first phase of the day of the Lord. And I believe there are several phases to the day of the Lord. And so the horses have left the gate. We've seen earthquakes, tsunamis, cyclones in Australia. We have tornadoes ripping through regions. We have all these different events that are happening everywhere. All of a sudden, it's like the woman in travail, and yet we see a moment coming, and with what's happening in September, with the alignment of everything, the possible great shaking, I shake not only the earth, but the heavens too. So there's this cosmic reality, this earthly reality. So we have the four horses of the apocalypse measure up with Matthew 24:48. We're in the beginning of sorrows. This event this fall could accelerate the speed of those four horses of the apocalypse, and we could get to what they are perhaps later, but so we see things accelerating, and what I see this fall is an acceleration of the beginning of sorrows, which will ultimately lead men all over the world into the caves of the earth, into the dens of the earth, because of the fearful things that are happening. Now, you step out of that moment, and this thing passes, and all these global events are happening right now, which is consistent with the global crises or crises, and then you have a new world order government coming to power to begin the greatest tribulation that the world has ever known, which is designed particularly against the saints of God. Augusto Perez,
right,
for what you preach, you're the enemy of the state. And what so many other people are doing out there, we are, and I love what they're doing with Oslo, Norway, with the guy that blew up the government buildings and killed the children. They are describing him as a Christian, a right-wing fundamentalist, radical,
sure.
And it's like Nero. So I see it's all forming around us, Augusto, everywhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is what the plan is basically to create an atmosphere where, you know, it's adverse to Christianity. And we're going to see the system implemented in the world that is going to begin to persecute the children of God. But referring to this fall, what I see also happening that has never happened before, and this is why I believe that something transcendental is going to happen, and I don't know exactly what, and I don't think anyone knows, because it's never happened before.
Right.
So we can only speculate, mm-hmm, and go by revelation of what we hear the Lord saying, and you know, pick up the little crumbs that we see along the way. But last year I went to be with a friend of mine in Texas who is a pastor, and he let me watch a movie called The Star of Bethlehem, and I watched it, and I thought it was really, really fascinating. It opened my eyes to some things that I had never seen before. And it was basically looking at the book of Revelation chapter 12 in a different light. I had always read the book of Revelation chapter 12 when I read about this.
Are you there, Augusto?
I had always said, well, that's Israel, and that's, you know, the 12 tribes of Israel, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, like most preachers, you know, that's a standard interpretation.
Right.
But I had never, ever looked at it the way that this man looked at it, which was from an astronomical aspect. And it makes a whole lot of sense to me because actually the Apostle John, he said he saw a great sign in heaven.
Right.
He saw it in heaven, okay? And so this is something that he saw in heaven. So when this man began to explain, you know, the fact that, you know, Jesus was born in 2 BC, you know, what happened in the heavens, and, you know, he explained the stars that appeared. He explained the constellation Virgo that appeared. You know, most Christians don't even want to talk about constellations, you know, because they think it's taboo. They think it is ungodly. But God created the stars, and God created the heavens, and God created every constellation, Virgo and Aquarius and Pisces and all of them. God created that. He put them up there for signs and seasons. So, you know, people of God need to, you know, stop that nonsense and grow up and begin to think like the Lord and begin to see things like God sees them and speak the same language. And so this thing that this man, you know, the way he looked at it was that when Jesus was born, the constellation Virgo was in the heaven. The constellation Virgo has 12 stars on her head. If you count the stars on the constellation Virgo, when she appears in the heavens, she has 12 distinct stars there crowning her head. Okay.
Okay.
On the day Jesus was born, the moon was by her feet, and she was clothed with the sun at sunrise. She was clothed with the sun. Okay.
Okay.
You know, when I heard that, I said, "My goodness, that is incredible." And you know, the day that Jesus was born, Venus was in the womb of Virgo. However, there's one big detail that is going to happen in September that did not happen at the birth of Yeshua or Jesus Christ. And anyway, when I saw that movie and my revelation began to open up, my spiritual eyes began to open, this whole chapter began to acquire a new understanding. And so my friend in Texas has a software, which is Starry Night, and he can watch the heavens any day of the year from way back all the way to the future. And so we started praying, and I started telling him, you know, do this, you know, try this one and try that one. Now, we found that on September 29th of this year, on Rosh Hashanah, it was going to be exactly like Revelation 12 says. Virgo was going to be on the heavens, 12 stars on her head. The moon was going to be right at her feet. It's going to be right at her feet on Rosh Hashanah. Not only that, but Venus is going to be in her womb on Rosh Hashanah, okay? But not only that, this particular Rosh Hashanah is going to be a little different than in all times past, because on this Rosh Hashanah, the planet Nemesis, the neutron star, is going to be right before the Virgo, the Virgin, waiting for her to be give birth to the man-child. Now, this is where it gets interesting, Vincent, okay?
Okay.
I have done some research, and I even have some photos, okay? I've been doing this research now for a while, and I have found some photos, you know, that, by the way, have to be taken with infrared lenses, okay? Not everybody has a telescope in the garage with infrared lenses to go out and take photos of
That's
this
true.
Object. So you have to really know what you're doing, where to look, and you have to have the right equipment. And you have to be able to look at the right time of year, because if you don't look at it the right time of year, you won't see it. That's why most people can't find it. Okay? So, but photos have been taken, and I have some of them. And, you know, and the photos I mean, and people can find them out there. If you do research, you can find them out there in the internet. So it's no secret they're available. And these photos show this object. Okay, it's a neutron star. It's got a black. It's surrounded by blackness. Some say it's a carbon star, and you can only see it with infrared lenses. And when you look at it really close, you can see seven objects surrounding it. Now, when people have done research and they have read, okay, and I'm not recommending these books because, you know, I believe in the Word of God, and I don't believe in anything else. It's the Word of God, but there are books written, you know, based, I think Zachariah Sitchin wrote some books about this object, you know, Nibiru and Wormwood, and Emmanuel Velikovsky as well. And anyway, some of the writings, it is mentioned that this object has seven planetary moons or planetoids orbiting around it. Well, when I looked at this photo, Vincent, he had seven objects or seven planetoids or seven moons, whatever they are. I don't know what they are, but it does have seven around it. And when you look at the book of Revelation, chapter 12, it says there that the dragon, which, by the way, the dragon is one of the names given to this object by the cultures, older cultures, specifically the Chinese, were the ones that called it the Red Dragon.
Mm.
Others have called it by different names, but the Chinese were the ones that called it the Red Dragon. And the scriptures here talks about the dragon. And it mentioned a great red dragon having seven heads and 10 horns and seven crowns upon its heads. Well, when I started putting all these things together, seven heads, you know, and 10 horns and seven crowns upon the heads, and the tail drew a third of the stars of heaven. Well, when you look at this thing, Vincent, he has a tail so large, which is massive. It's millions of miles across. It's huge. And it says in the scripture that it drew a third part of the stars of heaven. Well, this thing is dragging such a massive debris, such a massive tail of debris, cometoids, stars, asteroids. It's incredible what it's dragging in its tail. And the scripture says it dragged a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. Okay? Mm-hmm. Well, that is what's going to happen, I believe, when this thing makes its pass. And we see that in the trumpet judgments. In the trumpet judgments in Revelation, Revelation 7, 8, 9, all there throughout there, we see, 7, 8, 9, we see the many of these asteroids, comets, and what have you, falling on the earth. Okay, so it says that he threw a third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a male child who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was cut out unto God and to his throne. Okay, now, this event, happened at the birth of Yeshua, except the dragon was not there. This object was not there. Okay?
Right.
This object is going to be there this fall.
Mm. Is that what they call Nemesis by chance?
Nemesis, yes, sir. That's how the science world calls it. He calls it Nemesis. It has many names. It's called Nemesis. It's called a Destroyer. It's called, the Red Dragon and, you know, all kinds of different names, but yeah, that's one of the names, Nemesis. And my friend and I found Nemesis on the software. And
Just quickly, I wanted to say we have about 10 minutes left on the broadcast, and I want you to give an exhortation to everybody that is tuning in tonight before we get off the air. But as I understand Scripture, and as I understand the way that the Lord has laid things forth for us, when we look at Matthew 24, verses 48, and he tells us that the end times, will, when they ask the question, what will it be at your second coming and the end of the world? And that he answered that question for all of us. And he begins by telling them that there will be deception. There will be wars and rumors of wars and nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, earthquakes, pestilences in different parts of the world. These are the beginning of sorrows. That's how verse 8 ends. And then the very first word in verse 9 of Matthew 24 is then. And so that word then kind of brings things from the beginning of sorrows to then shall they persecute you and hate you, and the love of many will wax cold, and betrayals will come. So everything that the signs are revealing to us, if I'm a Christian looking through the biblical lens and wanting to know what time it is, and I'm looking at the earth and I'm seeing the four horses of the apocalypse and with their events taking place, and I'm looking to the heavens and I'm looking on earth and I'm seeing all these things happening, as an intelligent, spiritual, born-again Christian, I have to be able to look at these signs and realize that the then is going to follow these great shakings that are going to be caused by these events, and that that next phase to follow is going to be the greatest tribulation worldwide against the people
right.
of God. So we should be looking at these signs as they're speaking to us who have light, because we have Christ in our hearts, and we should be saying we must be ready in spirit, soul, and body. Give the final words and an exhortation to everybody out there, and take the last 8 minutes here, Augusto, and just share and pour out of your heart.
Amen. Well, I want to say to the people that are listening to me that if you are in Christ Jesus, if you have not received Jesus Christ, if you don't know God, maybe you knew God maybe some years ago, but maybe you left, maybe you started wandering in the world, this is the time that God is calling you back to Him. Papa is calling you. He's dealing with you and wanting you to come back home, because He's about to put the curtain down. And this whole world is about to go up in smokes. And the world itself would not cease to exist, but the system of the world will be destroyed. That much I'll tell you. And so it's the end of the age. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the age and the systems of things. So if you are wondering where we are tonight, I'm telling you, listen to the voice of the Lord telling you tonight, it's time to come home. It's time to come home. One of the scriptures, one of my favorite scriptures that I always like to read, is in Luke chapter 21, when he talks about, that Jesus talks about this, the signs that were going to take place on the earth of nations, distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring, man's hearts failing them for fear of things that are coming upon the earth, the powers of heaven shall be shaken. If you keep reading, then short time after that, we are going to see the sign of the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. And he tells us, he says, when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. By that it means you need to put your eyes on Him, not to put your eyes on your problems, not to put your eyes on your finances, not to put your eyes on your jobs or your problems you have in your job or at home. We all have problems. We all deal with things and with heartaches and with tribulations and with all kinds of tests. But your eyes have to be looking up to Him, because we are at that time right now. And He wants you to make it right. He wants you to make it right. And He makes one last warning in that same chapter. In chapter 21 of Luke, He says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts are weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day will come upon you unawares, because it will come as a snare to them that dwell on the face of the earth. He says, watch therefore and pray always that you be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So I'm asking you tonight, I'm pleading with you tonight, to just come back to Papa. Just get on your knees and just say, forgive me, Father. Forgive me, for I have sinned. I am really, really sorry. Forgive me. And just surrender your heart and surrender your soul. Just rend your heart wide open. He knows what you're thinking anyways. He knows what's inside your heart. You can't hide anything from God. You can't hide from him. He knows every little detail of your life. So just give it to him. Just confess it with before him. And he will cleanse you from all your sins and wipe you from all uncleanliness and make you speak and span new. He will cleanse you white as snow. All you have to do is believe that his name is Jesus Christ. He is your Savior. He died for you. He came and died on the cross of Calvary for you, and that he wants you to be his. He wants you to make him your Lord and Savior. And so tonight, just tell him, Lord, I surrender my heart to you. I surrender my life to you. Forgive me. Cleanse me from all my sins. Wash me. Make me clean, pure as snow. And I surrender my life. I accept you as my Lord and King and soon coming King and Savior. And just come and fill me with your Spirit and fill me with your presence. And guide me in the coming days, Lord. And take me by the hand and guide me what I should do and tell me what I should do and where should I go. And in Jesus' name, Father, I pray for each and every person that is listening to this broadcast. And Lord, I pray that you would touch them, that you would minister to them right there, Lord. Set them free, Lord, from all yoke of bondage. Set them free from all oppression. Set them free, Lord, from all attacks and from all blindness, Lord, from every stronghold of Satan that is controlling them, Lord. We break that power over their lives in the name of Jesus. And Father, we release them, Lord, from that bondage, that they may serve you, Lord, in the spirit of holiness and liberty. And I pray, Father, that you fill them and you seal them with your Holy Spirit, and that you would make them, Lord, brand new today. A brand new person, a brand new man, a brand new woman in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen and amen. What a beautiful prayer. Augusto Perez, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for joining me on the air tonight, for speaking, for sharing, for confirming, for witnessing and speaking the truth in love. I thank you so very much. I hope it's not our last time. I hope it's the first time of many of our radio interviews together. And may God bless you as you go and continue to pour out, and as God is sending a sanctified vessel to the nations of the earth to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Saints of God, that's Augusto Perez. Augusto, God bless you. And once again, thank you so much for being on the air tonight and sharing with our listening audience. God bless.
Thank you for having me, Vincent. God bless you.
Absolutely. God bless you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. We're winding down here tonight. Augusto Perez, all of the information, by the way, I forgot to ask Augusto. Let me see if he's on the line still. Augusto, are you still there, Augusto?
Yes.
Okay, but before you go, just for people that would want to research your website, your information, give people that information, please.
Sure. Our website is www.theappearance.com, theappearance.com, and just go there, and we have all our newsletters and all our information there. And if you'd like to subscribe to our newsletter, just go to the right links there, and we will put you on our mailing list, and we'll keep you up to date on what is going on.
Okay, and my one question for you tonight, Augusto. In all the years that you have been in ministry, in faithful ministry unto the Lord, to the body of Christ, have you ever known a time like this?
Never.
Never.
This is the time that the prophets of old dreamed about and wish they would have seen. We are living it.
We're living in it, and I bet you're more inspired now than you've ever been. The best is yet to come, and the Lord saves the best for last. Okay,
amen.
Good night once again, Augusto, and thank you, and I'll be calling you. I just want to chat with you offline sometime, okay?
Do that.
I will do so.
Do that, Benson. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you. All right, saints, that is it. We're down to our last minute here. Isn't that amazing that we are having so many confirmations. Back in September 2010, the Lord told us through Genesis chapter 26 that we had 1 year to prepare. He never said something bad was going to happen in October, November, any of that. He just said, I'm giving you a year to get your ark ready, your personal ark and the ark of the Lord that we're building here in the Northwest region of Arkansas. Be in prayer about the completion of this project. We want to have ourselves completely ready to go. You need to be completely ready to go. No unforgiveness, no sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. It shall not have dominion over the body of Christ. Do not give it authority. Rise up, saints of God. Be that overcoming, elect man-child ministry that's ready to be birthed out of the womb, even as Venus is going to be birthed out of the womb of Virgo, and even as Christ was birthed out of the womb during the Star of Bethlehem. You know what it's all about. We'll see you Tuesday night with Brother Brad Hawes. Pastor Vince here saying good night.